Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Exodus, the 15th chapter. I'd like to keep the screen down and show our scriptures tonight, Brother Hoffman. Starting in verse 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water." 3 days out of church, you get pretty dry, folks. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them." A lot of things are bitter until you go to the cross, folks. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God," here's the promise, "and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And then you go to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and verse number 11. "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Therefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, will bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy cane, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the lands which he swore unto the fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." So what God is saying is, listen, if you'll do what's right, there's some contingencies here. I've got some promises for you, but, you know, you've got to do your part before I can do mine. And then one last scripture found in Genesis, the 31st chapter. Chapter 31, starting in verse number 1. "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, 'Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory.' And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, 'Return unto the land of thy fathers to do thy kindred, and I will be with thee.' And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flocks, and said unto them, 'I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If ye said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all of the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring shank shall be thy hire than bear all of the cattle ringshank. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringshank, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all of the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringshank, speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee, and I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou bowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. We're grateful that we have it. Amen. That it's not a matter of opinion, but it's a matter of promise. And we ask, God, that you'll anoint and bless, Lord, that somehow we could leave here not the same as we came. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jacob said to Laban in verse 41 of that 31st chapter, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for the cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the Lord of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Israel had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labors of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Except the God was with me, I'd have walked out of here empty-handed. Sometimes we think that, you know, all of the years we have been faithful, that somehow we walk out of this building empty-handed, or we're living as Christians and we don't get our share of what goods this world has. But, you know, we've got a God who watches over us, and nothing can happen to us or be taken away from us except God allowed this to happen. Hallelujah. I want you to know that when we are right with God, we will never be sent away empty-handed. I want you to know that tonight there isn't anything that is more valuable than the word of God. And tonight, you will not walk out of this place empty-handed. This will not be another service that, well, we just went through the motions. And what did you get out of it? Your pocket should be filled. Your head should be bursting with all of the knowledge of God. The devil said to God, you know, does Job serve you for naught? There was something that really irritated the devil, and that was every time somebody serves God, there are rewards and promises and deliverance. The reason Jacob had to leave his father's house in the first place was a battle over an inheritance that he had with his brother. Jacob cared about his inheritance, but Esau, yeah. Is church really that important? I'm really getting concerned about Wednesday nights, folks. Because this place used to be packed on Wednesday nights. But apparently there are some who don't, and I'm not saying this to you because you're here. But there are some who feel like it's not that important anymore. That grieves me. I love my inheritance. I love what God has given me. I want to protect it. Some people put a greater emphasis on living holy and getting to heaven, and that always brings on a battle with people who don't feel that's important. It'll cause separation from those who don't value the inheritance. I don't understand. And then if we say something, well, then I hope this is all right. But when we say something, then all of a sudden there's a conflict because You know, even in Pentecost, we can be holier than thou. Whatever that means. But you'll never leave empty-handed. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says we send blessings ahead. Hallelujah. Have you ever had an employer who promised you a promotion, a raise, some better benefits? You know, and you waited, and man, it just never happened. You did everything that you could to do, but then 6 months went by and a year, and then maybe 2 years, and yet no mention of anything. And finally, you got up enough nerve in order to go to your boss and say, hey, you know, you said. Well, yeah, we're going to do that, but you're just going to have to be a little more patient, you know? And that can be frustrating because you did your part and they didn't do theirs. But that's not the way God operates. When you do your part, there is always, 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 always going to be a promotion. God is always going to be. But if you won't do what... We start to compromise, we start to justify, well, yeah, but it, you know. Hello. Glory to God. I worked for somebody like that once, a long time ago, back in the 70s. Strangely enough, the name of the agency was the God Cell Insurance Agency. And after 3 years, I was promoted from vice president to president of the agency, and I tripled the size of the agency. I worked hard. It wasn't much of an agency when I got there. The agency was all owned by a bank, and I talked with the president of the bank, and he agreed to sell me the agency if it continued to do well. But as it became more profitable and larger, it seemed like it was more important to the bank. It wasn't just a nuisance, and now it was more of an asset than anything else. And after 6 years of promise, they decided they weren't going to do that. And God allowed me to start my own agency. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, you know. God meant it for good, they meant it for evil. And sometimes you have to get uncomfortable before you can get comfortable. God has to sometimes take away something in order to give you something better. But we love the security of holding on to that, which sometimes we don't even enjoy. Glory to God. And it was the best thing that could happen to me. I left with knowledge. I left with confidence. And most importantly, I left with the blessing of God because I did it right. It wasn't like I shirked my duties, you see. Was Laban concerned about his daughters and his grandsons and daughters, or was he more interested in the blessings that came with Jacob working and having the blessing of God? Hallelujah. Some of the companies that you work for are blessed because you're there, not because they're so great, but God wants to bless you. Hallelujah. Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. Always giving him less or that which he thought was worthless. People will make you promises, and later when it doesn't benefit them, they will change their minds and want to negotiate new terms. Life is set up in terms of promises and rewards. That's the way it is. What I love about God and this book is there's no restraints. He has set it up on a benefit, an incentive benefit, that the more we consecrate our lives, the more he blesses. The harder we work for him, the more he blesses. He doesn't treat everyone on an equal level. That's right. Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's what the Bible says. And the more we do for God and the more we you know, expend ourselves for God, the more he is there. And it's just amazing how that always works. It's just a matter of finding the right employer who wants to work for God. Because you know that there's always a promotion with God. Malachi 3 and 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." In other words, if God's promise is in here, don't worry about it. He's not going to change his mind 10 times before we get to heaven. If God makes us a promise, even if we disappoint God, God's still saying, "I'm going to do it." Hallelujah. Numbers 23 and 19 says this: "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he said and shall not do? Or hath he spoken and shall not make it good?" Yes, he will always make it good. You know, standing on the promises of God. We need to stand on the promise. You know, if you have a problem, the best thing you could do is find a solution in this book and then hold on to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Your word says, God. Romans 11 and 29 says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." God doesn't change our wages. God doesn't change his mind about giving us the things that he promised he's going to give us. Now, on the other hand, Satan has promised everything to everyone, all kinds of happiness, all kinds of enjoyment, hallelujah, bonuses and perks, and he wants people spending their life bound in service to him, making promises that he could never deliver on. Live for pleasure, that'll make you happy. Work for your brains out, and that'll bring contentment. Pick up some habits. Why not have a little bit of fun? But people just buy into emptiness. There's no fulfillment in it. It's dead end road that just delivers nothing but heartaches and sorrows. Hallelujah. Brother Moran opened with this scripture. John 10 and 10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Glory to God. I don't think we take that serious enough, because what God is saying, I want to make you happy. But you better do it the way I want you to do it. Don't compromise. Don't cheat in this area. Hallelujah. Do it right. And when people try to get out of the indenture they have to Satan, Satan will track you down and convince you to stay a little longer. Laban, you know, Jacob said, "It's not working. One more year and I'll let you go." But one turns into 20, and 20 turns into a lifetime of servitude for the devil. Satan will advertise all of the pleasures of sin, but he'll never tell you about the payday that's down the road, the cancers, the divorces, the misery that comes. Don't waste a minute of your time working in that agreement with a lying employer that promises that which you can't deliver. You know, I've often thought back to that job that I had, and I thought, you know, 6 years was a lot of time, but during those 6 years, it benefited me immensely, and what I learned and what I developed. But what if I had gone 20 years and came to the same conclusion? You see, you never have to worry about that with God. You can spend 20, 40, 60 years serving God. You'll never get to the place where, boy, I'm really disappointed. When the trumpet sounds, no one's going to say, "Oh, I worked too hard for God," you know? Hallelujah. God has a way of not letting things put us into servitude. You know, the world looks at it as, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And what God is saying, I don't want you indentured into evil and things that will completely, bond you in servitude. And he knows what's important in the world, but will deliver happiness and joy to God's people when everybody else around us can't figure it out. They're working harder, they're doing more, and they're still not enjoying life. Glory to God. Could you go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter? Starting in verse 21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." Hallelujah. Now, if you've got a few brain cells, if you've got a position, if you've attained a few things in this world, consider not many are in that position and really find God, because too many people are so self-sufficient that they don't need God, especially in this country. It goes on to say, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Not in our riches, not in our wisdom, not in... Hallelujah. And then if you'll turn to Genesis, the 30th chapter. And verse 35... "And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-shanked and spotted, and all of the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all of the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut trees and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rod. And he set the rods which he had piled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, and they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-shanked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock towards the ring-shank and all of the brown in the flock of Laban's. And he put his own flock by themselves." Wow, separation. "And put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and manservants and camels and asses. So here was a formula that was given from heaven. An angel came down to Jacob after his wages were changed 10 times. He knew how disappointed he was. And God said, I have seen all of Laban and what he has done to you. Here's the plan. When the flock comes to water and the rams breed with the flock, it was said that Jacob cut the bark of small sapling trees in stripes, green poplar, hazel, and chestnuts, and then he put them in troughs where the cattle and the sheep would come to feed and water. He made the white appear onto the bark, and every time the sheep came to water and fellowship, Jacob would bring out the striped rods and place it before their eyes. And the amazing thing was that the sheep started to produce that which was before their eyes. Ring-shanked or striped, speckled and spotted sheep and cattle. And they were not the misfits of the flock, but they were the strongest of the flock. Those that looked a little odd. And then they were separated from the rest of the flock, you know, and said, no, you strong ones, come out. I know you look a little different than everybody else, but I'm wondering if you could just, let's all put them together. That which Laban thought was the weak and the worthless. He said, you know, you can have the ring shank and you can have the spotted and the gristle. Take them. Because you know what? Those are the ones that are worthless, and I don't need any of them. But what he didn't realize is that he kept all the weak. And they produced more sheep over the years, and they had less disease and problems, and they were not barren. You know, this will preach someday, folks. Hallelujah. There's a reason God put this in here for us. They say that when a baby zebra is born, it's almost completely white. And then the mother zebra, and there is a whole herd of zebras, blocks the view of all the other zebras from the baby. So every time the zebra walked around, this baby zebra, the mother would be right there blocking its view. And eventually it imprints on the baby zebra to have the same kind of stripes as the mother. So when it gets in the middle of the herd of zebras, oh, there's no question. There's mom. Ever go to a mall? There's one of those Pentecostals. I've imprinted. I know. Every time we come to church is for the purpose of spiritual reproduction. It's for food. It's for water. And to fellowship with other sheep in the flock. It is my responsibility to put the one that took the stripes before you. To show you Jesus' response to situations that you've already gone through. To produce after Jesus his character, his values. I also have to set before you people on the platform that represents the holiness of God. Because whatever is up on the platform will end up out in a pew. And so if I compromise this platform by putting somebody who doesn't have the same values, who isn't strong, oh, we may be speckled and we may not look like everybody else in this world, but I'm telling you, God is looking for the speckled sheep. God is looking for the ring shank. Hallelujah. And if I don't do that, then this church will produce after its own kind, and eventually we won't even look any different than Laban's sheep. the cheater. Weak sheep. Worldly sheep. Sheep that will be counted without stripes. In other words, I don't believe we have to sacrifice in order to be a Christian. You know, God loves everybody just the way they are. That's the kind of sheep that'll be produced and belong to another. Some shepherds won't want the speckled sheep. But I say, bring them on. Bring them on. They are the strong ones because they've been picked on and they've been rejected and they have been passed by and they have been persecuted. They've been isolated. But they are strong and they belong to the Father. You see. They'll pick on us like speckled birds. You know, boy, you're different, aren't you? Hallelujah. You know, that's a badge of honor, folks. That's not a shameful thing. Glory to God. We are different than the rest of the world, and they don't like that because, they just don't value the inheritance like we value the inheritance. Turn to Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, please. Jeremiah 12 and verse number 9. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all of the beasts of the field, come to devour. All the other birds don't like the speckled bird because it just doesn't look exactly like them. Many pastures have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors, which touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out of the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and I will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy the nation, saith the Lord. In other words, God's saying, you know, there's a way, there's a separation, there's a cause, and there needs to be a clear sound from the watchman on the wall. And should we get to the place where, well, we don't want to be speckled birds anymore, we don't want to look like anybody else, if a pastor would do that, you know what God will do? He'll pluck them out, just like he plucked those out from Laban's and gave them to Jacob. Because you don't value the heritage, the inheritance. You don't value. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to take them from that flock and put them in another. That's what God's word says. One day, God will walk through the flock, picking out the speckled and the spotted, those that have been maligned and slandered and despised and persecuted, those that have suffered their own stripes of adversity, those that have marks on them, and proclaim, these are mine. Amen. These are mine. I'm so glad that I got the marks of the Lord on me. I'm so glad that I can be identified as Jacob's sheep and not Laban's sheep. I'm so glad that God has given us perfect instructions. They have my marks of ownership. That's what he's going to say. And I'm proud of those marks, and I'm proud of being a speckled bird and a ring-shank sheep and a spotted cattle, because there's something about it that identifies us as belonging to the Master. Amen. If we get to the place where we're ashamed of that, then maybe we won't be a part of that. Right. Glory to God. I'm just grateful to be a part of his flock. Would you stand with me, please? You know, today, God's people are more sophisticated and educated than ever before. Years ago, a preacher would just get up and say, this is what you should do, and never give any understanding as to why. But everything that we do has a purpose and has a meaning and has a reward to it. And I believe that if we continue to respond the way God wants us to and follow his statutes and his commandments, glory to God, there's promotions that you can't even imagine. But if we compromise and say, God will understand, no, he died for those ring shank. He died for those. Hallelujah. And he's most sanctified, proud of each and every one of us who will live according to his word. Maybe tonight you ought to come and just thank him. Thank him for the hedge that he put around us. Thank God for the sanctification that protects the truth. Amen. This altar's open. Would you come?